Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Steve Arterman here for New Life Live. Mercy. It is something that God gives us. He, you know, Psalm 103 says he is slow to get angry. He is full of unfailing love. He is merciful and gracious. Let's talk about mercy right after this on New Life Live.
Hi, Steve Arterman here. Welcome to a special edition of New Life Live. This is Classic Friday, and all of our calls have already been taken and answered many, many months or years ago. We brought back some of the best. So welcome to New Life Live on Classic Friday.
My question is, does forgiveness always include reconciliation?
But dads can invite their daughters to another level when they go there themselves.
Has focusing ever been an issue?
You think that ADD thing is only Steve, huh?
Yeah.
No wonder you connected.
Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous. It's not the well that need a physician, but the sick.
I never thought of it like that.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. Doing all right today?
Doing good.
That is good. Hey, I did an interview with a magazine the other day, and they asked me what was the most overused phrase that I use. Can you guys, do you have a phrase that you use a lot?
That's overused?
Yeah, you overuse the phrase.
Does it mean that you use it in ways that doesn't necessarily apply because you use it too much, or just quantitatively just need to increase your vocabulary?
Just your phrase, you know. Do you have one?
I don't know. I tell John to grow up a lot. Is that overused?
Is that too much, John?
John's
mic doesn't work. Yeah. So John doesn't.
He won't
use
be
that
overusing that phrase.
I'd say it's not overused. It's just ineffective.
Ineffective. John, do you have a phrase that you overuse?
Here, why don't you come sit over here? You can have a different microphone. John, you're in the like on Mars with the rover. You know, we're not getting the communication coming
spirit
through.
Can we hear you?
Well, I know there's a thing that people tell me that I do, and I say, you know.
You do, yeah.
What's mine?
I don't know about yours.
What's yours?
Well, there you go.
Well, that's in honor of your mother.
No, it's not
your
my
mother said that.
Yeah, she did. No, she said, if it's not one thing, it's another. It's always something, and you never know. But I say, well, there you go, because I have ADD. I don't pay attention to what people say, and so, you know, they can be talking about their dog died, and you didn't really listen to that, but you look at them, and they look sad, and you can go, well, there you go. Or they can look real happy. You don't know what they're saying. They may have told you they won the lottery. They're just thrilled, and then you look at them. They look pretty happy, and then you can go, well, there you go.
So is that what you were saying on this interview? You were saying this?
I was just telling her about that and how, you know, with ADD, I had a wreck in Washington, D.C., and I get the ticket. You know what it's for? Failure to pay attention. Now, who has a ticket for their ADD? And when I saw it, you know what I said to the officer? Well, there you go. A ticket for not
You really got a ticket for not paying attention.
No, it says failure.
Sure, that wasn't your sixth grade teacher?
Failure to pay full attention was what the ticket said.
Wow.
$78.
What did you do?
Well, I came
what
around.
What kind of wreck did you have?
I came around a curve and it was wet and I couldn't stop in time and boom.
You didn't pay attention.
I was not paying full attention. Yeah, all right.
There you go.
Hey, Henry, I mentioned grace and mercy. There's a difference between grace and mercy.
Yeah, it kind of depends on who's using them and
who's
where.
Talking.
But this, I think you have to kind of start at the top. When you start with God, you've got from there, you've got these two rivers that flow in its grace and truth and its mercy and righteousness. But there's this love side of him and there's this truth side of him. Mm-hmm. And they're really not sides because they're, you know, they're interwoven and integrated. There's the word I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But the further you go down there and start to dissect the meanings, you know, when we get mercy, it's when we don't really get what we deserve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you deserve to be
killed or sent to hell, and he grants mercy. When we get grace, it's getting so much more that we don't deserve. He adds things, and that's what it is.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical, or doesn't make sense, or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Keffer February 20th through the 22nd in Orange County, California. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, and your phone calls. We've got six steps for effective confrontation. I'll tell you the third one, because I'm just trying to knock some of these off here. Pretty cool. Stick to your experience. In the same vein, stick to your own experience, not what you think the other person is doing or their experience. Just one of the six by John and Henry. That's free. Then the resource, Addicted to Love. It's all about romance, relationship, sexual addiction. If you're into chat rooms and meeting people and all of these kinds of things, boy, this can really help. You know, I read an email this weekend, guys. A woman taken in by a person, just, you know, he just cared about her. He was a pastor of a church, wanted to pray with her. Just everything was wonderful. Left her husband and, you know, ended up with this man in a physically abusive relationship. Have to draw the line, because you never know where this stuff is going to be. God really has given us a bunch of rules that can protect us.
You know what? Speaking of which, I can't remember exactly where I saw it. It was in some workbook somewhere. And really good people who were doing it. Mm-hmm. But they were kind of, you know, trying to illustrate God's grace. And God's grace versus, you know, being legalistic.
Right.
And what it said was that legalism is about living life according to rules. And that's not what God's grace is.
Right.
And that's really what a lot of people think, and it's just wrong.
So not true. Yeah.
Legalism is about thinking that by living by some rules or standards that you're going to gain God's favor. Mm-hmm. That's what legalism is. Mm-hmm. But part of God's grace is that he gives us rules to live by that protect us.
Yeah.
Living by the rules is a wonderful gift. I mean, think about if somebody said, you know what, Steve, not going to be mad at you today if you don't pay attention to gravity. Well, have
Ridiculous.
A nice day.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to crash and burn. So there's nothing negative about rules and standards and expectations. They're there to save your life. It doesn't make God love you anymore if you keep them or don't keep them, but it sure will make your life different.
Amen. Let's go to Deanna in Louisville, Kentucky. WLSY
there
is
you
the
go.
Station. Deanna?
Hello, guys.
There you go.
I want to start out by saying how much I love your program. I've listened for years, and you guys were instrumental in bringing me through a really tough time, and then since then just getting my relationship with Christ right, and I just appreciate you all so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Deanna. What's going on today?
Well, I've got a simple question that I'm hoping you guys can make the answer simple. I'm just curious, how and when are you sure that you love someone?
Good
before
question.
Before you take the step of really, you know, like letting someone know that. I mean, because I try to be careful about guarding people's hearts.
Are you talking about like
like romantic.
Like the bus driver in your town or a boyfriend?
No, nope, like a boyfriend.
Yeah, we kind of figured that, but I just want to make sure.
You know, I think there are two different questions, though, you know. One is, how do you know you're in love? But the other one, really, which might even be more important, is once you know you're in love, how do you know you ought to stay in love or not? Or, you know, what are the red flags? Because just because you are truly in love doesn't mean that that's a healthy object to be loving, healthy person to be loving.
Right.
So, okay. So but you want to know, how do you know it's not infatuation and it's real love?
Right, because, you know, those feelings come soon where you know you're infatuated, but when do you know,
so you're
really love?
You're not questioning how you feel. You really feel wonderful, and you love this guy, and you think he's like everything. You're just wondering if that's true or not.
Right.
Is that right?
And I don't exactly.
Or do your feelings wax and wane?
No, they don't wax and wane.
You want to know the nature of the attraction you have.
You know,
exactly.
Okay. How about this? People that are infatuated don't work through conflict, but people that are in love work through conflict, and actually, at the end of it, find their commitment deeper because they are able to accept each other even though they've found out maybe a negative. What do you think of that?
I think that sounds... Oh, me?
Yeah.
I think that sounds really good, and that's actually something that I've read. And we really haven't gone through anything that's been really like that, I mean, as far as a significant kind of conflict. So, I mean, would you say that you really need to go through a conflict and come
yeah,
through
do
it?
Yeah, do something to really anger
I
him
wouldn't
tonight.
Provoke a conflict. Life does that, Deanna. That's
right.
Why we believe so much in relationships. You know, Ecclesiastes talks about the passages of time. You know, there's a season for this and that. Well, as time passes, then, like Steve was talking about, you do find those conflicts in values and in friendships and in interest, and, you know, your wants and needs come out and the selfishness comes out. And then you find out, it's a little bit like what Jesus said when somebody said, what's the big idea? And he said, well, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You begin to find out, ooh, he's got a irresponsible part, and I got to take that in consideration. He's also, and I can kind of be codependent, and I got to take that into consideration. And then once you've gone through those seasons and you've allowed yourself, this is the big problem in dating, is people kind of shy from that. Get involved with his life and his activities and what he's doing. And in some period of time, you'll come around and you'll go, I know you. I know you with heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's an integrated relationship I have with you. And now that I know you all, the feelings may not be as infatuated, but I still strongly want to be with you. Well, then you've got something.
Yeah. Henry, what do you?
Well, I want to ask one question. How long has it been, Deanna?
A couple of months, so not long.
A couple of months, and are y'all dating exclusively?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me just give you a quick list.
Okay.
And I want you to get our book, Boundaries in Dating, because it really goes into very, very specific kinds of tests.
Okay.
But I'm going to give you a quick list. One is the time test. Okay? A couple of months is la-la land. You're on a fantasy trip. It may be true. It may be, you know, something you ate last night. Okay? Enjoy it, but you got to go through the seasons, like John was saying. Number two is the values alignment. And what you're going to see is that the time begins to show you how the values line up, because you don't know if somebody holds to values until the values get into conflict with their wishes. For example, he says he has spiritual values, and then you guys start to get, you know, more and more involved and all of this kind of stuff, and he's pushing you past your values, and when push comes to shove, he wants the value to move instead of him.
Okay?
Or in other areas of life. But the values test, they've got to align up. The third one would be the separateness test. How does it work in the ebb and flow of, can you be together and apart? Is there a lot of freedom? Can you have your own life? Can you have your own friends? Can you have your own interests? And how well do y'all operate as a me and a you and a we? And then in time's going to tell you that. Or is there possessiveness or controlling? The next one is the community and the friends test. Can you integrate into each other's lives, or does one person's set of friends tend to kind of go away and you get integrated into one of the person's lives? And what do your friends say about him over time? The next one's the conflict test, which John mentioned.
Steve mentioned.
I mean, Steve mentioned. And you know, you got to go through those and see how well, you know, who's left standing, and is there a we left standing after a lot of conflicts? And then the last thing I'll say is the integrated lives test. because what happens is love makes people kind of parachute out of their life. You know, they've been flying this plane called life with their interests and their hobbies and their passions and all of this, and they fall in love and they just sort of jump out of the plane. And what you want is for your two lives to be integrated in a way where he values what you do, you value what he does. There's some things y'all do that neither one of you even likes that the other one does. It's like, mm-hmm. go off and do it on your own. But that you don't have to jettison everything you are as a person for this relationship. And obviously, all of this takes time.
Right.
And, okay. And you know, the big umbrella around all of this certainly is the big spiritual value of where he is with God, because that's going to make all those align. And when I say values, that sort of goes without saying, but really how he does on all those others kind of are ultimately going to show you his spiritual condition.
Okay. And these little tests are in your boundaries and dating book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
Deanna,
well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Tell us one good thing about him. Here we've given you all these cold showers. Come on. What do you love about this guy?
Well, he is just very in tune with me and wanting to know what my needs are and of meeting those. And it's just a new thing that I've experienced with any guy.
If he's doing that in 10 months, you know,
right.
that's he's codependent. You got to get him a boundaries book.
Very good sign. Very good sign.
Yes. So thank you all for your time. I really appreciate it.
All right. And hold on. Let me send you my book, Finding Mr. Right. I hope that will be of help to you. You know, there's another thing. I was talking to these students at Olivet Nazarene University last week. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can't just ask a guy, will you be faithful to me and, you know, never have sex with somebody. In this day and age, you really have to be more specific. I want to know if you can commit to me. You're not going to have sex with anybody else, but you're also not going to go on the internet. You're not going to use pornography. I think you got to cover all of that and get him before the marriage to say, that's what you can expect. Or say, nah, come on, you know, guys just do that. That's just normal behavior. Then you really kind of know what you've got there. Okay, they're nodding.
Long list.
These guys, are they're nodding.
How do you argue with that?
Well, you really can't. There's just
no reason to.
No need to. So let's go back to the phones, and let's deal with Myna. I think that's how you pronounce it, from Pennsylvania, W-B-Y-N. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. I'm fine, thank you. And yourself?
Doing okay.
Yeah, your program has been very inspirational to me, but at this point I have a problem. My husband is taking coke. He is thinking that I have an affair, and I just don't know what to do.
He thinks you're having an affair?
Right.
Is that paranoid because of the drugs?
Right.
How long has he been doing this?
It's been since July, but this problem has been happening for about 3 months, maybe four. But as time goes on, it gets worse and worse.
Sure, it degenerates. What have you done to deal with the coke?
Really nothing. He tries to stop, but then he sees all these problems. The problem is that he sees me doing things, you know, in my bedroom with him, with other people. He hallucinates. He sees the people. He hears their names. And
that's not really always a coke thing. That could be other things, Mita.
Do you think?
Well, it's possible.
He sees all different men coming at the same time, you know.
He's hallucinating a lot?
In that aspect, yes. He sees
he sees things that aren't there.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, Mita, I think you got to go talk to a psychiatrist today and get him some help. Because you don't know what's going on there.
There's a million things, and this could be really severe. We'll leave you some names, but you must get help for him.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what he's going to see in the next 5 minutes that could actually cause him danger. So,
or yourself. I mean, he could see you as some evil thing and try to take your life. It's horrible. All right. Glad you called, and hold on, and we'll put you in touch with some people that can find a resource for you. Let's go to Ellen from Cincinnati, listens to WAKW. Hey, Ellen, how you doing?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for your program, and thank you for all your books. And I'm a member of New Life Club, and
all right.
just thoroughly enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
My question was, Henry's tape in January, the January tape, about grace.
Yes.
It was just so good. And I have the other one about grace and understood that, too. But we're trying to walk this grace walk with our son, who has been on drugs. And I'm just wondering when grace becomes enabling to him, when he uses the grace against us, I guess is what I am thinking.
Hmm. Well, Ellen, let me just kind of start with the big picture, and then we can get into the specifics.
Okay.
But grace is always enabling. That's its definition, really.
Okay.
It empowers us to do that which we are unable to do.
Okay.
Now, once you've said that, then you have to begin to define what somebody needs to be enabled to do. And what a lot of people do is they make the mistake of thinking that grace is the absence of standards, like it's, you know, it's license. Mm-hmm. That because I'm going to give you grace, I'm not going to hold you accountable here, when accountability itself, discipline itself, is an act of grace. So in the sense that you're using it, grace never enables somebody to go one step further into destruction. In fact, it would be an act of grace to sometimes throw somebody in jail. That would be grace. Does that help?
Well, it helps, but that doesn't make it any easier, does it?
Well, then we see that's the definition of grace. You need God's grace around you, maybe to empower you to give out the grace that your son needs. We'll talk about that.
I'll tell you a story when we get back.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back. Come sail with New Life Ministries in Alaska, July 13th through the 20th.
I went on my own. Had never done a trip by myself before, so I was apprehensive. So if you think, oh, I don't have anybody that would want to go with me on this, trust me, you are going to find plenty of friends when you get there.
We'll depart on the Island Princess southbound from Anchorage, cruising by Hubbard Glacier to Glacier Bay National Park, and then stopping in Skagway, Juneau, Ketchikan, and ending in Vancouver.
I connected with God in a way that I had never imagined.
We'll start each morning with devotions, then we'll explore each port, returning in the evening for fellowship and teaching from God's Word.
The teaching, every day just getting together with everyone, getting to know everybody in the group. The whale watching was amazing. Kayaking, zip lining, so many fun times and memories I have.
To register or to find out more, call 888-770-6898, extension 103. Or go to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're bad. I think I said we're bad. We're back.
Well,
oh, dear. Well,
you've been watching the Michael Jackson footage,
well,
I think.
I think that's true.
You did say that. I thought you were just being honest.
Yeah. But hey, Ellen.
Were you meaning to say something else?
What? I meant to say we're back. Ellen, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I went to a meeting the other day, and a man was talking about his relationship with his son and how he bailed him out all these years. And then finally, in tears, he said, I developed the courage to not do that. Because guess who he was doing the bailing out for? Himself. Mm. So his son would look okay, and he could feel okay.
Okay.
He finally let the boy go to jail. The boy was arrested. He didn't go bail him out. And then, because he's got money, they called and said, you need to get your son an attorney. He said, absolutely not. A public defender can take care of that for him.
Wow.
He went to jail for 6 months.
Oh, my gosh.
And everything in his life turned around because he finally was allowed to experience the consequence of his behavior.
Okay.
We all have a good friend.
We sure
who
do.
Who tells this story publicly.
Yeah.
Who's written a lot of books. Who his, I think a teenage son at that time, he had tried everything. His teenage son stole something from them in order to buy drugs. And he called the police on his teenage son, had him arrested, and that's what turned him around. But, see, but Ellen, let us know the specifics. What?
Yeah, what's going on?
Okay, well, we set him up with some excellent Christian counselors.
How old is he?
I'm sorry?
How old is he?
He's 33.
Oh. He's a big boy.
Yeah.
A big boy. He's a big boy. He's been in pain most of his life from whatever, just the way he's interpreted people treating him. And people have not treated him well, but that's life. And anyway, but we've set him up with counselors, and he went for a while. And
Why would a 32-year-old or 33-year-old need to be set up with a counselor, though? I'm just curious.
Because he was like a deer in caught in headlights in everything. He was absolutely immobilized.
Because of what?
Because drugs? Like depression? Anxiety? Drug problem?
Yeah, I think it's depression. I would think it was depression.
Can
it
he
was
not
immobilizing
Can he
him.
Not function? Can he not get out of bed and work? Can
no, he is working. That's about the only thing, and that's one thing that the counselor said. That's one thing that keeps him hopeful for him, is that he does go to work every day.
Okay, so he's in counseling now?
He's refusing to go.
Does he live with you?
No.
Did he pay? He works and pays his bills?
No, he doesn't pay his bills. He hasn't.
Who pays him?
Well, we haven't been paying them, but he finally had to file bankruptcy.
What do you mean we haven't been paying him? Is that a new thing?
No, I mean we weren't paying. He was married, and then she just had enough and left.
Where is your fear of enabling? Because all you did was refer him to a counselor. That sounds like a good mom.
Well, now he's not going. Okay, his truck. We've had to put a lot of money into his transportation. My husband and I, because we wanted him to have the transportation to get to his job and to get to his counseling. And now he's refusing to go. He said he cannot handle it emotionally with the divorce and everything.
What's the it? I can't handle counseling.
Yes. He can't handle looking at the issues that are inside of him.
You know what? A good counselor would know that it's just too much, and the counseling for a while would be about encouraging him and strengthening him.
Right. Counselor's making it safer so that you can look at the stuff.
Yeah. He's not going to take somebody that's breaking down in tears every 5 minutes and saying, you must go deeper, you must work harder. That's just not the way that's going to happen.
And I'm not sure that really is how it was happening.
Right.
I think it's just a matter is that he did not make...
So what are you like tempted to do or feeling pressure to do or whatever in terms of this enabling grace question?
Well, how much do we continue to repair the truck so he can get to work and so that he can get to...
How much does it need repairing?
Well, $4,000 worth.
More?
More?
Oh, no, we haven't finished. He was in a wreck, and we had to get that, you know, because we were in the process of walking alongside of him. To tell me, is that wrong? We were in the process of walking alongside of him.
Walking alongside is never wrong. In fact, sometimes carrying somebody, Ellen, like it says in Galatians 6.
Well, exactly.
We're supposed to pick up each other's burdens. When somebody has some kind of crisis that's breaking their life, that's the function of the body. But here's the way to think about it.
Okay.
There's a difference, and you need to talk to experienced people about the difference, knowing your son, who know your son. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between helping someone with brokenness and inability and helping someone with resistance.
Okay.
And to the extent someone is resistant to saying, you know, I want to be in the process, I want to go get the help, when they are resistant, then you kind of say, I guess I need to let you down so that you can experience what you need to experience of what that's doing. But if they're trying their hardest and they want to get help and they're feeling the pain and they're doing the little baby steps, then you're with them the whole way.
Well, they are baby steps. It was like he wanted to go to detox. So he went to detox, signed himself in for 3 days, wouldn't stay any longer, told them that he had counseling outside of this, came home and absolutely fell flat on his face for a whole week in depression. Would not reach out to anyone.
Yeah, what I would do, Ellen, is I wouldn't try to
to figure this out on your own. If he's seeing a counselor, now we're going. If I were helping him financially, I'd say, look, I don't mind helping you, but if I'm going to be helping you, then you're going to be helping too.
Well, exactly.
And so before we go the next step, we're going to have a meeting with the counselor or maybe the drug counselor or whoever, and we're going to design some standards and some programs and you know, expectations. If you live up to those, we'll help. If you don't, then I got to hand it to you.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
We appreciate your faithful support of this program. To give a tax-deductible gift of support or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be right back with New Life Live after this. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. We want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDare.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an every man's battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDare.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud. And let's go to Carol, calling from Indiana, WLYV. Hi, Carol. Welcome.
Hi. I really enjoy your show. Actually, I started listening to it last week while reading my scripture in 1 Corinthians.
How did you find the show just last week?
Yes. I was turning for the news.
Yeah.
And accidentally stumbled on it, and I've been listening ever since.
You could say we're kind of the bad news, and you...
No, this is great news, because I, you know, you have people, you know, talking about different issues, and I'm learning a little something from
it. Good. How could we help you today?
My question is, I'm dealing with a forgiveness issue. I've recently been divorced, and my husband... We're worshiping at the same place. Now,
how long were you married?
5 years.
Why'd you get divorced?
My husband wanted the divorce. He no longer wanted to be married.
Why was that?
He no longer wanted to be married.
Right. Why was that?
He had other issues.
Like, obviously, yeah.
Right. I would say baggage. A lot of baggage.
He said... You know, I got so much baggage that I'm not able to be a good husband, so I want to get out of here.
I don't love you anymore.
I don't love you anymore.
I don't love you anymore.
Did he love someone else?
Pardon me? No, I don't.
No, did he? Did he have an affair? Or was
yes, there,
there
was
one?
An affair. Yes.
There was an affair.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Carol, you you've been done wrong.
Yes, well, I'm praying for that in my heart, but I am dealing with the issue of when I see him during worship, there is unforgiveness on my part.
How do you know that's unforgiveness instead of hurt?
I am very, very hurt.
Right. Hurt's not unforgiveness.
At first I thought it was like anger, but I'm more hurt than anything.
Well, to be wounded is just to experience a reality. God gets hurt without a lack of forgiveness.
So. I would think that would be so tough to see him in church.
Yes.
So are you opposed to maybe just going to a different church?
Well, you know what? I think my feelings are going to be there, whether I'm there or somewhere else, because I know I have been wronged. But
yeah, it's not going to make the feelings go away, but you don't have to have it, you know, shoved in your face all the time.
That's true, but I am just dealing with, I have to face, I have to face those things anyway.
Yeah, okay.
So
what's your question then?
My question is, how do you deal with unforgiveness?
Well, I think it's like John was saying. You know, you've got to distinguish between the hurt and the woundedness and the unforgiveness. Forgiveness is whether or not, you know, you want to take a pound of flesh out of him. It's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and wrath and judgment and condemnation and all of that, like you're going to take out wrath, like he needs to be punished and he owes you in some way.
Okay,
now that's different than still having feelings of woundedness and hurt and anger and all of that. So forgiveness is something that you're just going to have to accept him as God has accepted him and let him off the hook and say he doesn't owe you anything and cancel the debt is what forgiveness means.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you know what? If somebody came up and stabbed you with a knife today, you could forgive them, but it's going to be sore for a while.
Yes.
And that's probably what you're dealing with. And the answer to your question is you really need a good divorce recovery group where you go every week or a couple times a week and they train you and teach you about what to expect to feel and how to reorganize your life and how to work on your people picker so you know this doesn't happen again. And they support you, and they value you, and they say, you know, this guy lost a good thing. We love you, and you start to get healed. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carol, we would wish for you that you would go through two processes at one time. One would be certainly canceling the debt, which is forgiveness, but the other would be actual healing.
Okay?
Because there's people that have walked that path. There's lots of principles and things and experiences to go through. Lots of people have done it. We'll leave you some resources. But keep both in mind at the same time that you need both right now.
Okay.
And Carol, you know, when I hear about stuff like this, I don't think he just had baggage. I think it's like in the classification of freight. I mean, it's beyond baggage.
Yeah. Definitely.
So it would just be natural, you would feel that kind of hurt. All right, hold on, and let me send you a copy of God Will Make a Way, John Henry's book. I hope that will be a blessing to you, and we appreciate your phone call. You know, April 25th, we've got the next Lose It for Life Institute coming up here in Southern California. We'd love for you to join us here, and it is a great way to really live a different life, using the weight as an excuse to transform your life, and you can find all about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You just call us. All right, let's go to Janine from Orange, California. Listens to KSGN. Hi, Janine.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess you saved the best for last, and if you weren't going to take my call, I was going to get offended. No, I'm just joking.
Might have been.
Well, now you've got to be the best, so you're on.
Okay, well, I just want to say I love your books. About a couple years ago, you really helped me through a hard time with dealing with confrontation and a safe people, and I just really, it changed my life. So I guess what I'm dealing with now is with the offense, I know how to forgive, and kind of listening to the last caller, I got a little bit of insight maybe, but how do you separate the pain from the unforgiveness? And if you're still having pain, are you really truly forgiven if you can't be around that person or hear that person? And
how long ago did it happen?
About 2-3 weeks ago.
Hmm.
And the thing is also...
What was the it?
I'm sorry?
What was the it? What happened?
It was my pastor's wife said something, and it really hurt me. And she came up to me and knew it had hurt me, and she even came and had a meeting and you know, said that she was sorry and all this. But then she expected me to forgive her right away, like right now. And I said, I forgive you, but I still hurt. You know, it's just you need to give me the time to deal with trusting you again and all this. You know, it just takes time. I mean, she wanted to just...
kind of have everything be like nothing happened.
Yeah, and I can't do that. And with the safe people, I don't even know if I want to be around someone that is going to hurt me like that.
What did she say that she had that she actually felt bad about?
Well, first of all, she didn't come up to me in love. She came up to me and was saying, oh, I think that you have a grudge against me. And I said, well, why would you say that for? She said, well, I emailed you and you never got back with me. I said, well, why didn't you find out if... I said, did you send it to this email? And she said, no. And I said, well, first of all, you didn't send it to me. Then I never received it. She's going to invite me to coffee to talk about it, which was great. But then, you know, she just, you know, turned around and said that, you know, I was just kind of upset why she didn't try to find out what my email was, or she could have called me.
What was the original offense, though? What did she do?
The offense was she had, it was on a Christmas Eve, and she had turned around, and I had sat at the table, and unbeknownst to me, it was with the pastors, and then she turned around and thought, she said, well, I just assumed that you wanted to sit with the singles. And I said, well, and what happened was she...
You sat at a table for pastors.
Well, not for pastors, just with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, And she thought you'd want to be sitting with singles.
Yeah, and I said, well, why would you assume that for? She says, well, I thought you'd want to be with singles. I said, well, no, I wanted to be with people I knew. I didn't know you were sitting there, but there was other people I knew
so
there.
So you had different expectations. Where's the offense?
I guess I just got hurt because she tried to separate me, the singles, from the... I guess I just don't like hypocrisy in the church, and I felt like she was trying to separate the singles from the couples, you know, and she didn't really...
Well, Janine, let me just... I don't mean to offend you either, but I don't see that as an offense. I see that as maybe a different... way of seeing things, but I mean there are a lot of people that rightly or wrongly might think that way, but why was that offensive that she would kind of think the singles over here and the married people over here?
I guess it wasn't offensive, it just hurt. I mean, she thought that I had a grudge against her, and I guess maybe I'm not knowing what the difference is, because to me I'm just still hurting from it.
Yeah, but what was the hurt?
The hurt is because she didn't know how lonely I was at the time and what I was going through, and it just felt like she just pushed me off and pushed me away, knowing.
Okay, so it was more than just the where you sit thing.
Yeah.
That you're lonely and you have some wishes for her to care about you and to be able to see that and to give you the nurturance you need, and she hasn't done that, and that's where this is coming from. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed that if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, and we're talking to Janine. Janine, our feeling was that, you know, the statement that she made was just, you know, sometimes people are uninformed about what how singles should be treated. But Henry's kind of gotten to something a little bit deeper here with the way you feel about her. And
yeah, it sounds like there's another big problem underneath here, Janine. It's where you feel like you're kind of alone in life and you want some things from her, and she's, for whatever reason not delivering those. Is that more what it is?
Well, I just, it's more just really being sensitive to someone's feelings. I mean, after we had the meeting, then she kind of didn't even validate my feelings by saying that my feelings weren't as important as someone else's that was going through something else and like to get over it, you know, and that even hurt more, you know. I mean, it was like, you know, I guess I just don't know how to deal with seeing her or being around her, or I mean, with someone else that usually hurts me, it's going to just take time for me to get over it and just trust her again and to be around her, you know what I mean? And I don't think that's not an unhealthy thing to ask for, right?
You mean from the comment about the seating thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, just to be able to, you know, trust her that she won't say anything to hurt me again. I just need to have that time.
Honestly, I don't know if you could. I wouldn't know how to trust myself that I wouldn't hurt you again like that, or anybody else, because see, what you're talking about are things that were going on inside of you that she couldn't see, and obviously, you know, she missed it, and she may be insensitive or whatever,
right.
but I think you would do better by trying to work through kind of sort of why it hurts so much. I mean, the way you've presented it, it sounds a little bit like, you know, it was maybe not sensitive or stuff, but I don't know if you could expect her to always know exactly how to talk to you.
Right, and that's just getting to know me as a person and, you know, what, as far as...
Well...
I mean, I guess I just felt rejected by her not really, you know, and I don't like people assuming things. I would rather prefer them to ask me instead of just assuming things, because that gets people in trouble.
I know, but I'm wanting the best for you, and I think that you might have to shift kind of some expectations.
Right, and I put her on a pedestal because she was a pastor's wife, and I expected them, not expected them, but I did look to them as mentors, and that's probably why it hurts deeper. You know what I mean?
A little thicker skin.
Yeah, I just think,
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I was with another ministry for a year or two, and I heard gossip come back to me that I was, you know, flirting or trying to get her husband, and that hurt really deep because that's not the kind of person I am. I've been through a lot of hurt, and it just seems like it's just hard to deal with people that are, you know what I mean, talk about love and all this, but then I know, you know, everybody's not perfect, and I have, you know, I've forgiven her. It's just taking time for me to deal with the, you know, issues of trusting again and getting close to her again.
We're glad you called, and let me send you Boundaries Face to Face. Sounds like that might be something that would help you in dealing with folks that have hurt you when you want to share with them how you feel. You know what? Let's go to Lisa, and she's – I don't have a lot of time, Lisa, but I wanted to get to your call. You're calling from Milwaukee. Hi there.
Hi. Thanks
WRRD is the station.
Yes, it is.
Well, how could we help you?
Well, I just wanted to thank you for your ministry. I've been listening for a couple months now, and I really appreciate how caring you are and how it's just obvious that you want what's best for the people that are calling, and I appreciate
that. How could we help?
My question is that I'm wondering what some steps are that I could take to be more interested in sex, being that my husband has had problems with pornography.
Has had them or is having them?
Well, according to him, he stopped, but he really isn't doing much to get to the cause of why he did what he did. He can't really explain it, and I feel uneasy in just accepting that.
Why wouldn't you say my question is, I don't feel sexual because I feel afraid and alienated about a husband who won't go into why he's into this problem, and so how can I work with him as a couple to work on that problem so then the sex feelings come? That's not what you asked. You see the difference?
Yeah.
He needs some help, and you need some help.
Yeah, your sexual feelings come when you feel safe and loved and valued and that he has cherished you and like Christ did for his church in Ephesians, that he's, you know, protecting you.
Right.
And so when you go to him and say, I want that too, but I can't manufacture things knowing that you've kind of gone on a dry drunk, which is kind of what he's done, probably willpower and discipline, until you kind of figure out that this isn't going to happen because you've dealt with the roots of it, I'm afraid, and I want to have that great sex too, but it just can't be, it's got to be a fruit of something, sweetheart. It just can't be because I choose to. So will you join me in working on the deeper issues?
Mm-hmm.
Is he wanting to have sex with you a lot?
Yes, far more than what I'm interested in.
Uh-huh.
I think he uses it to medicate himself to feel better. And, you know, it just doesn't make me feel very motivated knowing what I know.
Lisa, get aggressive. We're going to send you Steve's material on that, Every Man's Battle. And there are so many men that have had the same struggle, but you have got to be the person that begins to push this wagon.
And you know what? We've got a Wives in the Battle workshop, and that's the place to go to find out how to deal with this. And, you know, what you want is help for yourself that leads to the greatest possible chance that he might recover from this, not just stop doing it. You know, it's worthless to stop something if you're not going to build character beyond
Well, whatever
that.
Started it didn't go away.
That's right. That's right. You know, even when people are dramatically healed of something, you know, it doesn't heal them into character. And and just stopping.
It opens the door so the character can happen.
Yeah.
Well, also when they're delivered, you know, there's no demon of immaturity.
Yeah, hey,
you've got to grow into maturity.
So, if you don't want to do anything, you might want to create that and then be delivered from it, the demon of immaturity. We've certainly had that creep into
Come
our studio.
Out, foul demon of immaturity.
Yeah. All right. You know, we're just about out of time. Let me run through some things for you. The Lose It for Life Institute, the Wives in the Battle Workshop, Every Man's Battle Workshop, the Alaska Cruise this summer. And those are the things that we do here to help you. Our resource, Addicted to Love, about romance, relationship, and sexual addiction. And for those that support the ministry, we send the New Life coffee mug. You know, we are a listener-supported ministry. And you heard one of our listeners, our callers, talk about the joy of being in Club New Life. It really is a great way to support the ministry, and you receive so many benefits from it. We hear just great, great things from it. So call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you'd like to support the ministry or you need a question answered or to get the resource Addicted to Love or 6 Steps for Effective Confrontation. John, I was sitting here thinking, we started the program with mercy, and I was thinking about this little message that Paul gave to Timothy where he said, "May God our Father in Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace." You know, that's just about all you need in this life. I mean, you need food and clothing, but boy, just to have grace and God's mercy, and that does lead to peace.
Yeah, think how they work together, Steve. One of them is the favorites he gives us, the other is the absence of his wrath, and then the knowledge that you are in the hands of the one who is walking along with you for these problems and in the journey. That's the life of peace.
That is. Well, I hope, just as Paul wanted that for Timothy. I hope that for you. We all do here at New Life Live. We really do want to help you. So you call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you've got a friend in some area where we are, ask them to listen to the program. We'll try to give them some encouragement. We'll be here again tomorrow on New Life. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but we also need you to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. That means we depend on your gifts to stay on the air, which is why your financial help is so important. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again next time for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.